I want to tell you a short parable with a lot of Bible truth in it. And thank the Lord this theme fits in good with Jan's song, especially that second one, God making everything and speaking to us. Once upon a time, there was a very, very good king who owned everything in the kingdom. Can you imagine such a thing? No dictator could claim that, but this was true in this case. The ground was his. The animals of the forest were his. The birds of the air were his. I was reminded of this type of ownership when in our own home when some creatures invaded us three different occasions in the past 2 years. Three bats come one at a time to take over the house, you know. And one person was almost sleeping, and they felt the brush of bat wings and yelled. And if you ever have that problem, just get a big towel. Wait till the bat lands. You know, the Lord made the bat. He knows if it's going to come in your hair or not. Just grab a hold. But and you get a towel and you put your towel on that bat. Take him outside. Everything will be okay. But this king, he owned everything. And the water in the kingdom was his. He provided the water for the people and all the fish and all the creatures in the sea. All the food for the living creatures came from the king's gracious hand. Okay, even animals of the kingdom knew by instinct that they didn't earn or deserve the food that they got. It was provided by the king, you know, for them to feed upon and have strength and live and move and so on. And every person in the kingdom was given the gift of life personally by this king. It was amazing. And without their help, the king made them all in his very image. He created them, so his fingerprint was on each one in the kingdom. And this image that he gave them freely gave them the highest respect and dignity of anything else in the whole kingdom. Highest respect and dignity to each one. Far beyond all their achievements of work or intellect or effort. It was theirs based on who the king was. And then the best was saved for the fullness of time. Okay. The king offered to everybody the closest friendship they could have with anyone would be with him. And it was offered to every person. And this last and best gift was everlasting life with the king. And when angels heard of that gift offered, they were amazed. They were in awe. And they started to sing, "Glory to God in the highest." And this everlasting life would come at a great cost to the king. He would gladly lay down his life for every person in the kingdom. So the king gave the invitation to every person. If anybody is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Come to me if you're weary and wiped out, and I'll give you rest. And whoever comes to me, I will in no way cast out or turn away. And the king said to every person, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And what a gracious gift the king would provide for each one if they would just turn to him. Well, the little parable points us to the truth of the Bible about what God owns. Okay, everything created, every molecule, every atom, every person created by God, invited back to God, even though we've wandered away in sin and rebellion. Psalm 24 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." And King David in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 said, "All we have comes from God, and when we pass it on, you know, we just give out of his hand." And Acts chapter 17 says, "God created the times and places that we experience." We often think it's our time. You know, check the pocket calendar. I was kidding somebody. He gave him a date to do something, and he got out the date and, you know, or just whatever the thing's called, and he punched it in, you know. And I was poking a little too much fun at him. I said, "What do you, you have to write it down?" I said, "It should be right here. Right here. You won't forget that date." You see, it's right there. But God sets the times and places where we live and where we go. The moments are His. The trials, He's the biggest one in the trials. When our life begins, it's from Him. When our life is done on this earth, it's from Him. And then if we say, yeah, I need the Savior, the gift of eternal life from Him. What an amazing thing. And even by what how the world's put together, we see God's genius. Albert Einstein said this when he observed what God made. It's not that I was reading Einstein this week, but happened to hear this quote. The harmony of the natural laws around us reveals an intelligence of such superiority that compared with it, all our thinking and actions are utterly insignificant. That's pretty good from a very, very smart man. He's saying, look, I see the way the world is fit together. This is totally amazing. It bears witness to a superior intellect that, you know, we pale in light of. And maybe we'd put it this way, you know, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all your work shall praise your name in earth and sky and sea. The Lord, He made everything. Everything we have is a gift from Him. Elevates, certainly our lives, elevates the people in our lives, even elevates the stuff in our lives. You know, sometimes as believers we say, the things around us, they're just garbage, they're not going to last, toss it aside. God says, hey, I made the molecules that go into that thing. You take care of it. You know, and how you use it could honor me, and how you use it could bless others. Don't just be looking forward to your eternal home here. You got 90 years or so to serve me in this physical world that I have made. And so we are stewards. We take care of what God owns and what He passes on to us. There are three things I think we could put into practice from this. One would be a prayer attitude. And Pastor Derwin Gray had this one, so I take it from him. He said, pray that, Lord, I want to use your treasure to reflect what you treasure. A little play on words there. Lord, I want to use your treasure in a way that reflects what you treasure, what's important to you. Okay? It gives us perspective and accountability to know God owns everything. I mean, I'm going to treat you with a lot more respect. Then if I think, well, if you're smart, if you're good looking, if you're strong, I'll treat you good. If you're not, you know, I might not have time for you. That's a ridiculous way to live. Okay, God puts His dignity on everybody. It's from God. We're accountable. And it gives us perspective in terms of what God gives us, the places we live. They're a gift from Him. Whether you live in a one-bedroom apartment, or a six-bedroom house, both are gifts from God. Potatoes compared to what the Lord owns. Okay? So we keep that in perspective. And that little could be used to honor Him. Just like the little boy who had the bread, small amount of bread, small amount of fish, given back to Christ. Thousands were helped. Maybe thousands could be helped with your and my small life. You know, the Lord has that in mind for us. We give out of God's hand, and we're to take care of these gifts, to honor God, bless others. Take the home, for example, you live in, just some Bible perspectives about being a good steward. Your home, really, from God, could be a great place of hospitality. People are welcome. They sense the welcome of God as they come into your little place, wherever that is. I've been in homes where it just feels like it's almost like coming into my own home. People are just like, oh, come on and sit down or, you know, have this drink of water or whatever. Home is for hospitality. Home is for unconditional love. That hopefully when you go home, the relationships there say, hey, we love here no matter what. So you're safe, mom and dad, husband and wife, children. You know, we don't have a contract relationship with you. That if you don't do good, we're going to blow you off. No, So we have a covenant relationship that we're, our hearts are there because that's the way God set it up. Your home could be a little church. Think of how many churches are in Erwin, North Huntington, and all wherever you live out in the woods there in Hempfield. It's a little church of fellowship and praise to God. Your home could be a pulpit for the gospel. Pulpit's a good thing, right? You have to look that way occasionally. So your house and the relationships there, you are passing on the word. God is good. Christ is Lord. First by how you live, then by what you say. Your home too could be a place of solitude, so your soul can get refreshed. And you can rest and pray and have recreation. You know, fun is a gift from God. Was not invented by the devil. Adam and Eve had fun before sin came and botched everything up, you know. So when you have fun, say, man, this is from God over here. Using God's treasure for what God treasures. Your home also could be a hospital for sinners. Anybody's welcome. Could be a good model for the church. Anybody's welcome. Because Jesus welcomed us when we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We turned to Him. And so, to say, Lord, help us use your treasure for what you treasure. Second action, repent from materialism and wasteful spending. I've had to repent of these much. Materialism is idolatry. That's when you put things... you worship things instead of thanking God for things. One good definition of materialism. Instead of thanking God, you worship things. Coveting is idolatry. And this was a big sin of mine, especially when my children were little and what I thought a good dad did. I thought a good dad was to, I would bring home a gift pretty much every week for my children. You know, they were so little, like it. Here's another box of Legos. Here's another pack of football cards. You know, and my children, they were having a good time without me coming in with my stuff. And it was football cards. We had fun. They didn't know the difference between Jerome Bettis or Bobby Brister. You know, I see some of you don't either. But that's... but did you know? Not to get off track too much. Did you know there's a big picture of Bubby Brister right in Erwin? How many know where that is? Nobody. Okay. Yeah. You hang out at Pizza Hut, don't you? Okay. But Pizza Hut has these little, people on the wall. And there he is. I'm thinking, Steeler uniform number 6. There he is, you know. Did anybody remember him? But so here I am as a dad thinking, oh, these things are the best way to show love. And now, soon they collected dust. Now they're in the closet collecting dust. Can't even sell the things. Nobody wants them. But what my children really needed, you know, and my wife said, you better stop that. I'm going to take the credit cards away. That's it. Right. But what my children really needed was love. They needed security. They needed dad's discipline. Needed dad's training. They needed dad not to yell at mom. That's what they really needed. They needed dad to love mom. That's what they really needed. Okay. So we could repent of thinking materialism is going to be a solver of problems. And those gifts are gifts for sure. You don't have to live like a Spartan. But you could live simply and treasure what God treasures. did get the help, was isolated, and then God cured him through the medication and directly. But he donates his blood plasma to other Ebola victims so that they can recover. You know, that's a work of love, work of sacrifice. And he plans to return to Africa to help fight the disease. And he was blessed, see, by Christ, so he's blessing others with reminders of who the Lord is and what loving involvement is as opposed to self-protective isolation. Now, if you have received Christ, you have enough love in your soul to face any hard situation that is in the world. Anyone. God says He's poured out His love into our hearts by His Holy Spirit. So it's the love of God Himself. And no matter how difficult the person is you're dealing with, no matter how bad the situation, or no matter how difficult you are, saying, well, I can't help anybody. I'm not that. I don't know how. God will show you how. As one man said, there's not enough devils in hell to match the love of God. As you come and pass on Christ to another, from one little Christian, he's victorious. And all we have is from God, and so we give out of His hand. Kindness, love, service. Oh, we'll never run out. Because it belongs to God. I like that part. And then when it's all done, okay, we put everything away. Now it's time for eternity. When that's all done, when God calls us to our home in heaven, we will go empty-handed. I leave my Bible behind. I say goodbye to the people who are dear. Kiss them goodbye. Take all these nice clothes and everything. Car out. House out. I go empty-handed into eternity. And you think about it. At that point, by the grace of God, that'll be the happiest moment in our life up to that point. Because we will go to be with Christ. And we'll say, thank you, Lord, for those little gifts. They were very important. They were temporary. And, of course, we get to be with the people in Christ forever. But provided by God, and we were glad to be stewards for 100 years or so that we had. But our heart will be where our treasure is, which is in Christ. So we won't be crying and saying, you know, sorry to leave behind what the Lord gave. What He gave for forever will be there with us, the people. And we'll hear Jesus say in the words of Matthew 25 in closing, come. He says to all those people who trust Him, come. You who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Wow. Thank the Lord. He's still giving. When we get up to heaven, He's still giving us of Himself. What a Lord, and what a chance to follow Him and reflect the way He is. So let's pray and ask Him to help us with that, please. Lord, in the gift of stewardship, we're glad, we're thankful, and we say, forgive us for worshiping the stuff you give us instead of worshiping you. Even if we worship people or our own selves, it ends up just as ridiculous instead of saying, Jesus is Lord. So we repent, we learn day by day to be glad stewards, responsible stewards. And we just close in the words of what you own, whatever the gift may be, all that we have is yours alone, a trust, dear Lord, from thee. So we're glad to be just sharing what you've passed on to us. Bless each one here with that good, aggressive stewardship attitude. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I like this last song a lot that we're going to sing. talks about going home. It's not to be one that you picture yourself being dragged to the funeral home about, but rather glad to be with Christ forever.